So welcome to Healing School here on this last Thursday morning before we celebrate Thanksgiving. And that's pertinent today. And I want to welcome those of you who are online with us as well as those here. But it's pertinent because when Pastor Trey sent the schedule out for November, December, the Lord spoke to me and I didn't even look at the date and said, I want you to speak on giving thanks or Thanksgiving. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And for those of you here, as we worshiped, you'll notice the song she sang. That's the same Holy Spirit working in us as we gave thanks in that worship. So I want to pray as we get started this morning. And I'm just really looking forward with a great expectation to what the Father's going to do today. So Lord, we open our hearts to you. I open my heart to you and say, though I've prepared, that I will hear the Holy Spirit. And what he says, I will speak, and what he instructs, I will do. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place today, and have your way in our lives. And Father, my heart's desire today is that we just not learn something more about you, but that we come to know and to experience you and your goodness and your abundant grace that you've poured out on us. So, Father, we just look forward today to what you're going to do through your Holy Spirit in our lives individually and in the lives of those who are watching online. We just expect your movement, Holy Spirit, to be magnificent today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to Colossians 3 with me. And we've got a lot of scriptures. Sometimes I may tell you don't turn because we're not going to stay there long enough. If you're taking notes, you can write it down and Pastor Robert will have it on the screen for us. But what I want to talk about today, what the Lord has dropped in my heart, is positioning ourselves to receive from Him through thanksgiving. And if that doesn't make faith, I won't say make sense, but make faith, since we're talking about getting closer to Him today, then I believe it will. If it doesn't make faith now, I believe it will when we get through. Because there's a number of scriptures that I think will encourage you today and me. In fact, I will go ahead and tell you, when I was putting these notes down a couple of weeks ago, I began just to give thanks at what He was going to do today. I believe people here and you who are listening online, physical needs that you have in your body, or maybe it's a torment in your soul, in your mind, those things you're going to be delivered from today as we talk about and as you learn to give thanks as the Word will instruct us to. So Colossians 3, I want to start in verse 1, and I want to just read this scripture to kind of lay a groundwork for where we're going. It says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. So we've been raised up with Christ. Now, I know most everyone here today, so I can say with confidence, you've been raised and seated so that you qualify for that. If some of you are looking on and say, well, I believe I'm a believer, but I don't know about being raised and seated, then come back. Join us some more. And you'll hear it taught here on Sunday morning, how we've been made alive, raised, and seated in heavenly places with our Lord Jesus. And then it says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, that's important, and I want to really stress that one. Because what we're really saying in that is that we want to set our mind on what's going on in heaven. And then when we pray, Father, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Or in other words, heaven, you come down to earth. Then we won't be surprised at what is going on here. But today I want you to see what's going on in heaven, because there's some things we can do to mimic what's going on in heaven that I believe is just critically important. The Passion Translation for verse 2 says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. Now, that can be promises. It can be the state that we see in the Bible describing heaven, or it can be the actions that are taking place there. And then it says, and not with, so just talking about filling our thoughts, not with the distractions of this natural realm. Verse 7 says, we walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up and established in your faith. So that says we're going to be grounded and rooted in the Word, or rooted and grounded in the Word would be a better way to say it. As we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to the teaching of the Word, it's going to build us up, and we're going to be living through faith, not just by what we see. Now, a lot of people would put a period there. So they'd say, well, how do you walk in Him? And they would stop there. But let me read that again and finish that verse. So walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with gratitude. So we can't leave that out. In fact, you're going to see today how I believe Thanksgiving energizes us so that there are some things that we're warned about that just cannot come against us when we are overflowing in that gratitude. Now, let's tie those two things together then. We've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Our mind is thinking on those things. Here on earth, we've just been told to get in the Word, learn, and learn the nature and the character and get close to the Lord, just like we've been instructed to do, and what? Be abounding or overflowing in thanksgiving. So I would ask the question then, if we've been instructed to do this, and we're also talking about heaven, guess what's going on in heaven, or what would you think might be going on? So I want to read three verses in Revelation to you, and this is part of what I believe we need to be fixing our eyes to, having our conscience made more aware so that we are walking in the fullness of what the Lord tells us and gives us the chance to do. Revelation 4, verse 9. And so here it starts out talking about the four living creatures. And it says, and whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor, and what's the third thing? And thanks. Glory and honor and thanks to the one who is enthroned and who lives forever and ever. Look what happens when they do that. The 24 elders fell face down before the one seated on the throne, and they worshiped the one who lives forever and ever. Now, inquiring minds want to know, how were the 24 elders worshiping? At least that's the way my mind works. I wanted to understand what and see what they were doing. Well, look at Revelation, the 11th chapter. Fell on their faces and worshiped God. Verse 17, saying, so here's what they're doing. We give thee thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who was, because thou hast taken thy great power and has begun to reign. So let's ask the question, is he reigning now? Absolutely, in our lives. And so this is something then that we see when we are seated in heavenly places, when we're seeing in the Spirit through the Word, what are these 24 elders doing? They're giving thanks to God. And then there's one other one that I want you to look at. Revelation 7, 12. So by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Revelation 7, verse 12 adds a group of God's creation to it. All the angels were standing in a circle around the throne with the elders and the four living creatures, and they all fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, and this time singing. Amen. Praise and glory. And remember now, amen means so be it. So amen, or so be it, praise and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. So if we are declaring heaven come to earth, earth be like heaven is, then might you think, given the instruction we've just, the brief instruction we've seen so far, we might want to be focusing on, are we giving thanks as we see Him doing in heaven? And so that's a question that I begin to pursue. And I have come to the conclusion, and I've said this before here, I believe, that thanksgiving is one of the most high praises you and I can offer to the Lord. And you're going to see today that when we are doing this, when we're giving thanks for what He is doing, for what He has done, for what He's going to do, not just in our lives, but in the lives of others, because we ought to be rejoicing with each other all the time. When one has success, we all ought to rejoice. When we are giving thanks for all those things, you're going to see how this positions you to receive more directly under the spout of heaven, I would say. And you're going to see how it empowers you to resist some of the things the devil might bring against us. All right, so turn with me now then to Colossians 3, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 17. Now, before I read those verses, though, let me take just a moment and define, when I talk about thanks and thanksgiving, what I mean. Thanks, you might describe, or is defined by Webster, as kindly or grateful thoughts. But then it explains that a bit more, and it says it's an expression of gratitude. And then you come to the word giving thanks, and it talks about thanksgiving, then, is an act of giving thanks. So what I want to point out to you here is that to really give thanks, or to be in an attitude of thanksgiving, you and I need to be expressing to the one that we're thankful for something for what we are thankful for. I can say, oh, I'm so thankful for this. I'm so thankful for this. I can say concerning pastors here, I'm so thankful for our pastors here. But guess what? If I never express that to them, they don't know it. And so I want you to see that thanksgiving is powerful because we are putting it out with words. And that's where the power, I believe, comes from, when we give thanks. I also want to tell you, and I use our pastors as an example, that giving of thanks to people, to those that you care about, to those that are around about you, that is very important, because I think that is a strong indicator of how well you give thanks to the Lord. Just like we've said before, how well I love you is an indicator on how much I love the Lord. And so let's not see doing it one for another as not important. And remember, when we're giving thanks to God, this is not for something we've earned, but it is a gift. And we don't want to forget that. That's what His grace is. And really, when we express that and acknowledge it, and the reason that I said something about humility earlier is because thanksgiving is really an act of humility on our part. And what happens to people who are humble? They line up for more grace. And you're going to see that that's so, so important. So now let's start in this scripture with verse 12. In verse 12, and I'm going to really read this because it just reinforces what we've seen in Colossians, what we see in Ephesians 2 about who we are in Him. And so those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, that's you. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Verse 14, and beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And then 15, 16, and 17 is really the three verses that I wanted to focus on. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So what are we giving thanks for? Or what are we being thankful for here? We're being thankful for all of our salvation, everything that came with it.
but especially for how it's put us in one body together with Jesus. Now, the reason I want to emphasize that is because I am convinced in this day and time, that is one of the most important things we need to be doing, because there is great power available to us when we are in unity. And also, what do we know? That's a real testimony to others who are not in the body as they see the way we love and care for each other. Then verse 16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell with us. Well, that ties into what we've already talked about, being taught of the word and using our faith, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. So in that last part of that verse, then, we're expressing the gratitude and the thanksgiving that is in our heart. We're expressing it to our Father. But as we saw they're doing in heaven, it can be done in song as well. And so there's more instruction of how we need to be doing this. Finally, and in whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that verse quoted, and it's like there's a period there. People just stop. So everything that the Lord instructs you to do, going about doing good, be like Jesus in Acts 10:38, and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. When we're doing that, we're to be giving thanks through Him, through Jesus, to God the Father. So three times, back to back to back, we're encouraged, give thanks. Express that thanksgiving, always. Now, is there another verse that might imply that? I'm glad you asked. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Some short verses. This is one Pastor Robert and I always talk about. If we got to memorize a verse and speak it, we want the shortest one. And this one qualifies. This one starts out saying, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we ought to be rejoicing all the time. We ought to be praying without ceasing. Now, you and I both know we can't just be in constant prayer. If we've got a job to do, then we need to be focused on that job. But what's it talking about? Having that attitude, having that lifestyle of prayer. And then it says, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but no matter why you're in the midst of it. And you say, someone may say, well, how can I give thanks when I'm going through a terrible time? Because you have confidence that God's going to deliver you from that. So you can give thanks even in the midst of that. Now, I personally believe, and we're going to see this again, this is not necessarily given in order of importance. Because I believe when we give thanks, it is going to keep us in such an attitude and our mind focused on the Lord so much that praying without ceasing doesn't become an issue. That rejoicing always doesn't become an issue because we're always focused and giving thanks for what He's doing in our lives. Now, this again is a lifestyle. So, when do we begin to give thanks? Well, let's look at Mark 11, verses 22 to 24. And 22 is not necessary because it just says, Jesus says to him, have faith in God. I just want to remind you, this literally means have the God kind of faith. And then it says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. So I'd ask the question, if we believe these verses, when do we have what we're asking in prayer? When we pray. So when might then I want to begin to give thanks and to express thanksgiving to the Lord for what I've just prayed about? Right as I'm praying, just like the previous verse said, rejoicing, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in all things. So if we're believing that we receive something from the Lord when we pray, then don't wait until you see it to start giving thanks. Because in the spirit realm, you've just said, I've received it. And I think that's something that we all do too often. When I see the manifestation, I'll begin to give thanks. I can give thanks better when that's the case. That ought not be so. Now, can we see this in other scriptures? Yes. Go to Philippians 4. In Philippians 4, and we'll start with the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. And then verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So here we see it again, that we're praying, we're not worrying, and we begin to give thanks for it because we know what we've asked is ours. Let your request be known to God. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So praise God. Now, really note verse 4. Because I said this earlier, but I want to emphasize it. I believe that if we are prompt to give thanks as we pray, then praying more than just a minute or two will not become a problem to everybody, because the thanksgiving is going to focus your heart on the Lord. I also believe it builds us up so that we can rejoice. Because, again, we're focused on Him. Now, I'm not talking about being to the point of being giddy. My personality is such that I heard Andrew Womack's wife say this about him one time, that she has to tell people he's rejoicing, he's excited about something. And sometimes some of us are more reserved. But you can tell where you're rejoicing by the words that are coming out of your mouth. Are you focused on poor, pitiful me? Or are you giving thanks for what the Lord is doing? And that is really how we rejoice. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who gives us the victory, that verb indicates it's an ongoing thing. And the work is complete. So why not then, are we not giving thanks then? 2 Corinthians 2:14, similar. It says, but thanks be to God who always causes us or leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. So do you begin to see the relationship that I believe the Lord is wanting us to see between thanking Him, praising Him, and that's really all thanksgiving is, and being able to receive from Him? I think it will increase our faith as we do it. And again, it doesn't just apply to giving thanks when I receive something for myself. As I said to you earlier, I began giving thanks to the Lord for what was going to happen through today's teaching several weeks ago as I began working on this. Do we see others in Scripture demonstrating this lifestyle? And the answer is yes. Let's look at Paul. Ephesians 1:16, and you may want to not turn these because we're just going to read them quickly. In Ephesians 1:16, Paul says, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. So what's he indicating there? That in his prayers, he's constantly giving thanks for those he's ministering to. Now, I know the heart of our pastors here, and I believe they pray for you in the same way. I know we pray that way on Sunday evenings when we gather for corporate prayer for the people in this body. We're thanking them, thanking the Lord for bringing them to us. We're looking forward and thanking Him for bringing more to us. And so sometimes you may feel like you're having to call things that be not as though they were when you give thanks, but that's okay. That's just the way we live in faith. Philippians 1, the 3rd and 4th verse, Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Now, that verse really blesses me. I mean, think about what Paul is saying. When he thinks about Miss Charlotte or Miss Brenda, Paul is saying, I give thanks for you. I believe Jesus is the same way. I believe that's part of his intercession to the Father. And then Paul goes on and says, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for all of you. Now, we know Paul wasn't Southern because it didn't say all y'all. But he's saying, I give thanks always to God for you, making mention of you in our prayers. But this last one that I want to read, also from Paul, is one of my favorite verses when he's praying for people like this. And this is a prayer that I have been praying for this day. It's a prayer I pray often when I'm going to be teaching, being thankful for those who come here to hear, listen, and who also join in online. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and I'm going to read two translations, First New American Standard. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. And that's a prayer that I know a lot of people who teach and minister pray for those who are hearing them. That's certainly my heart. I don't want you to be entertained at all. I mean, I'm not one to tell jokes and things like that when I teach. I tend to just use more scripture. But my heart is that you remember what the Holy Spirit tells you about this verse much more than you just remember what I say. Listen to the New Living Translation. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, and that's all I want this to be, is his message to you. You didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. So that's our prayer. And that's an example of others, of Paul, living a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Now let's look at Jesus, because he's the one that we're measuring ourselves against, not just Paul. And we're going to look at three cases where Jesus refers to or talks about giving thanks. The first is in John 11, and this is the account of raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus has heard Lazarus has died. He's told his disciples, we're not going to go right now. We're going to wait. I'm going to raise him up, or I'm going to wake him up. And then he comes, and everybody's mourning. Mary and Martha come to him. He encourages them with some correction even. And finally he says, roll away the stone. And so we're going to pick up in the 41st verse. It says, and so they removed the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and says, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me. I thank you, Father, that you've heard me. Now, he's saying this before he said anything prayer-wise to the Father. And I knew, and I know that thou hearest me always because of the people standing around. But because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, saying what? Lazarus, come forth. And we know the Father heard him because he did. But I want you to see, Jesus began to just thank the Father that he was going to hear what he said. Now, we have promises that if we are asking the word of God, asking the will of God, we know that he will hear us. But are we thankful for that? Do you realize how big that statement is? When Minton prays the will of the Lord, we have a guarantee that Father is listening to us. I mean, that's big. Let that rise. That'll never. You ought to never, if you meditate and give thanks about that fact, feel like your prayers are just coming out and falling on the ground when you're praying the will of the Lord. That ought to be such an encouragement to us. Now, I also want you to note that giving thanks here and for us as well is a great testimony to what God has done and even will do for us. And particularly if people see us at peace in situations where others or falling apart. When we testify, when we give thanks to God in their hearing, then that's going to be a testament to them of what the Lord has done for you and is doing in that situation. Now go to the 6th chapter of John. And this is an account of feeding the 5,000. And I'm going to begin in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand." And I believe that's in there just to let us know that what happened at Passover, everyone came to Jerusalem. So there's a great number of people there who normally aren't. "Now Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?' And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do." Now, we're not going to get into teaching that, but let me just say, Jesus has heard from the Father what he was going to do. "And Philip answered him and says, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him," this is a big verse that we need to really appreciate, "'There is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two fish.'" And then, don't blame Andrew, but he said what we would say much of the time, "But what are these for so many people?" Now, we might not say that about loaves and a fish, but we might say it about our checkbook, or we might say it about the report that we've been given, where we have some good news but some bad news. Which one are we going to focus on? So we've all been in this place. And the one thing I think this teaches me is value the good things you have. I've heard Pastor Trey tell people before, if your left hand is hurting you, thank the Lord for a good right hand. So always just having that attitude of gratitude, being focused on the positive that the Lord is working in our life. And so Jesus doesn't even respond to him. Now, I want you to notice that. And then he says, "Have the people sit down." The thing I would say about that is, I see these people sitting down, and it talks about all the green grass that was there and what was luxurious and just reclining. And what jumps out at me is, isn't that how we receive from the Lord when we're at rest? Now, I'm not talking about reposing here, like they were. But when we're at a spiritual rest, that's when our faith is most effective. And so can we begin to see how giving thanks quells the worry, the anxiety, because we're focused on him, we're speaking his word back to him, thanking him for what he's doing. And you'll find that you'll just take yourself over into rest, and then rejoicing will come. So then it continues in verse 11. "Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks," what do you think he gave thanks for? I believe it was two things. I believe when he was giving thanks, he was giving thanks for what had been given, what had been sown to him. But equally as much, he was giving thanks for the abundance the Father was about to deliver. So be careful when we start praying that we just forget about what we've been given so far and just give thanks for that big item. Be conscious of the small. Verse 11 continues, said, "He distributed to those who were seated. Having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost.'" And 13 tells us how much they gathered up. 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over from those who had eaten. Now, right after this, Jesus sends his disciples away. And he tells them, "I'm going to join you." And one account says he had to compel them to go because they knew a storm was coming. And they were having a hard time rowing. And Jesus walks to them on the sea. And when he gets there, they're afraid. But then it says they welcomed him in the boat. How about I say it this way? When they heard it was Jesus, they were thankful that it was him. Now, the point I want to make here is, what happened immediately, the scripture said? It says immediately when they welcomed him in the boat, They were on the other side. So that welcoming, that thankful attitude took that boat from the middle of the sea to land instantaneously. But that's not what I want you to see. So some others begin to wonder where he was. And then we're going to look down in verse 23. And it says, there came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they had, where they ate bread. So it didn't come and say, they came to the place where Jesus had performed the great miracles, where he multiplied the loaves and fishes. It says, they came to the place where he had eaten, where they ate bread after he had given thanks. Now there's something very noteworthy that the Holy Spirit knows that he wants us to grasp by this statement. That we too, when we give thanks before, he's going to be able to work on our behalf as our faith stays strong, as we stay in that thanksgiving, rejoicing, keeping worry and anxiety out because we're too busy giving thanks for the good things that's going on that we know is ours. This is a big, that one verse is a verse that we all just need to meditate and see the magnitude of the power of thanksgiving. And then I want to look at Luke 17. Now, Luke 17, beginning in verse 11, is the account of the 10 lepers. And we'll start in verse 11. And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. Now, we're not going to teach this as I would teach it if I were just teaching this one for the full session. We're going to focus on the thanksgiving part of it. And they raised their voices, per the law, staying away, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, is healing a mercy of the Lord? Absolutely. He is the Father of mercies. He has much mercy. It's not just mercy about sin, but it's about all that sin brings with it. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And it came about as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, I cannot read that one without saying, when we hear from God, are we as obedient to do exactly what he's told us to do? And here were 10 people who weren't born again. One of them was a Samaritan, as we know. And yet, they went, they acted on his word, and the results came. And that's praiseworthy. Now, verse 15 says, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, or we might say, giving thanks. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, you've got to remember, a Samaritan is a despised people. And some would say, well, why did he go back? Well, because he told him to go show himself to the priest. Well, the priest weren't, the priest that these Jewish guys were going to was not his priest. Jesus had become his priest. And so he's come back and he's giving thanks to this one, to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Now, does that indicate to you, I know we read through that sometime, that Jesus recognized that only one came back to give thanks. Do you think those guys were thankful that they were healed on the way to the priest? I'm sure they do. But they didn't value giving thanks enough to take time to go back to the Master. Saints, again, a noteworthy verse for us. Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And then verse 19, and he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well, or King James says, whole. The word there is sozo. I would say it this way. Not only was his leprosy cured, but when he was made whole, that which leprosy had taken away from him, whether it was his fingers or whatever had been eaten away by that terrible disease, I firmly believe because of his giving thanks, he was made whole. all that salvation is for us, not just being born again, but healing, provision, safety, all those things is there for us today. Wholeness, soundness, preservation, health, prosperity, deliverance, and safety. Now you might say, well, how does this work? Well, let's don't ask my opinion. Let's look at Scripture. So, two more scriptures. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sake, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people, so we've got grace increasing to more and more people, may cause the giving of thanks to abound, and might I just add, even more, to the glory of God. Now, what is that verse telling us? Well, I think we're going to see it even more clearly in the next one. But there is a relationship between increase and giving thanks. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. You will be enriched. In fact, let me read you 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing what? Thanksgiving. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing, how? Through the many thanksgivings to God. Do you see that what this does, it creates a cycle of increase? I receive from the Lord, I give thanks. When I give thanks, I position myself, and what? In my humility, more grace comes. And it just increases and increases and increases. And I am convinced that people who receive a portion of their healing, if they will begin to be very thankful for what has come, what has manifested, that will just continue to increase and increase in your body. Let me read you that last phrase in three different translations. The literal Bible says, but also multiplying through many thanksgivings to God. And the Young's literal says, it is abounding. Now, what does abounding mean? Abounding means you got more than enough. Enough for it to be flowing out of you toward others. And the modern King James just says it will multiply through the many thanksgivings. So Judy, if you would come up and just play. What I want us to do now, and those of you who are online, feel free to join with us. I'm going to set the microphone down because I don't want you listening to me. But I want us to just, as you're seated or if you'd prefer to stand, however you want to do it, I just want us to take a few moments. Now, sometimes moments like these can seem like an eternity. But I want to encourage you, if you start giving thanks to God for what you've been believing for or for something that you've just received, even during this service, then I want you to see how it takes your mind off time and you can give thanks well. If there's other things you need to ask for them, giving thanks for them when we ask because we believe we receive, and just watch what the Lord will do in our midst today. I want to thank those of you who have joined with us online today and stayed with us to the end. I truly believe that we are going to hear your testimonies of things that have happened to you, to your family, to those you've been praying for. And let us know that because we want to rejoice with you. We want to also be able to give thanks with you because that's just going to increase the thanksgivings that will cause more and more to abound, not only here at this church, but outside in this Middle Georgia area. So, Father, we thank you today for your love. We thank you and we join with the angels in heaven and the 24 elders and the four creatures, and we say, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are all powerful. You deserve our thanks. You deserve the honor, Lord, and we give you that today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in the hearts of your people as we prayed earlier, for what you've manifested to them in their soulish realm as well as their physical bodies. And we thank you today, and we say, you are a good God, and you are a good God to me. We love you. Thank you again, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we give thanks, because that's the only way we're able to do it. Amen.